You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey there. Welcome or welcome back to the Beyond Forgiveness podcast. I'm your host, Alex Christine. And today we are joined by a very special guest. Her story resonates very deeply with me during this season of life, and I hope it might touch your hearts as well. Sherry is a U.S. Air Force veteran and former critical care flight nurse whose 25-year nursing career was cut short by a traumatic brain injury in 2019. In the wake of that loss and transition, she found unexpected healing through art. And today, as an artist, she explores the intersection of creativity, trauma recovery, and spirituality, which I think is super, super cool and amazing to incorporate in daily life, which is one of her core messages, and is also why I'm looking forward to talking to her. Her work is described as both calming and alive, embodying themes of resilience, grief, and transformation. Sherry speaks on overcoming adversity, the power of creativity and healing, and why art belongs not only in galleries, but in everyday life. So I will include a link to her website in the bio for you to check out her work. I also want to point out before we get started today that I am an ambassador for Slide Jewels. And I'm wearing this cute little heart necklace. My mom actually pointed it out before I started this episode. And I also got a bracelet. If you use the link in the bio that I'll include, you can get one free jewelry box each month. And it's special made for you. And you get really cute stuff with it. Like, for mine, I was really hoping that I was gonna get gold instead of silver because I prefer gold, and both of them were gold. And so I'm not wearing the other one. There was a bracelet, and the bracelet was super, super cute, but I'm obviously incompetent because I broke it, so it's not the bracelet's fault. Totally good bracelet. I just am incapable of putting it on by myself. So, yeah. Otherwise, this necklace is amazing. And yeah, you can use the link in the bio. You get the whole box for free. You just have to pay for.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shipping. But yeah, so thank you again so much for tuning into this episode, and let's get into it. Introduction. And yeah, it was nicely tailored. I did not say your last name because I don't know how to pronounce it. So how do you pronounce your last name, Sherry?
It's Karen Danis.
Karen Danis. Okay.
Karen Danis. And the first name, Cherie.
Cherie. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So I pronounced the other story. One wrong.
No, it's a funny story because my dad named me Cherie. He uh-huh. loves that name. My mom's Korean, and so she could never pronounce Cherie.
Yes.
she calls me Sherry.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I love that.
So I go by either one.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So, wow. So your mom is Korean. So you're a Korean American then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Aw. Yep. That's awesome.
Raised in a biracial home, and yeah, that so comes with all its own things.
Yes. That's amazing. I love cultural like differences and stuff.
Like, yeah.
Do you have any, food? What was that like? Like what, did you have different meals?
Yeah. So it's so funny because my mom would always make two dinners. Uh-huh. She would make one for my brother and my father, which was the typical American dinner. Yeah. And then she would have a Korean meal for me and her.
Yes. Aw, I love that. Yes.
Yeah. So even our meals were biracial.
Yes. Whenever I was in high school, I dated someone who is Filipino, and his loa would come often. I loved pancit, but
My God, I could eat it by the pot.
It's same, so good. Same. The plates were overflowing every time I had it. It was so good.
And that's their love language. It's just like, eat.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
When his Lola was there one time though, I'd walk past the stovetop though, and I saw a fish with its eyeballs in it, and I'm like, oh no, I'm really scared.
So funny. My husband, we've been married 24 years, and he still can't get used to that. Like, I don't cook that, but my mom does sometimes, and he'll go to her house and he'll be like, that fish is whole. Like the head, the eyes, everything is still on it.
Yes. I was a little freaked out, but I'm like, you know what? It tastes good. I'm just going to not look. It's fine.
Good for you. He won't touch it. So good for you for eating it.
Yes. But, that's funny. Oh, wow. That's awesome. So you had I don't know how to even get into this. This is my second interview. Sorry.
Your second interview. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. This is like season two. So I'm starting off doing like interviews, trying to get different testimonies on here. So,
okay. Cause when I looked before, it was you alone on camera and you would do like little Bible study.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of working through. Yes, I am honored. I am, yes. So I would love to hear about, so first of all, your life. Like, just tell me about you. I know that's a loaded question, but
yeah.
Your story.
Yeah. So like I said, I was born into a biracial home. My father was in the Air Force. And mm-hmm. so he met my mom. He would go to Korea to train for the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they met. And so I have one brother, and he's 18 months younger than I am. Mm-hmm. And he lives out in Huntsville, Alabama. So we grew up Air Force brats. We grew up overseas a lot in Korea. We did live stateside for a while. But most of our growing up years, I would say from fifth grade for me until I graduated from high school, was mm-hmm. in England. My dad was stationed in England. And so we had a great time. I mean, living overseas and getting to travel and, And the high school there was a Department of Defense dependent school, so it's kind of smaller than a traditional high school here in the States. But we had all the sports, we had all the extracurricular activities, and so we really did have a great childhood in growing up in that military community. So then I decided to go to college at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I went
That's
in as
quite a change
pre-med.
from England,
Yeah,
probably.
a huge change. A huge change. But a couple of our friends from England had gone to ORU. And so, back then, you didn't have YouTube. You didn't have ways to see the schools. And we weren't going to do college visits from England. So we just kind of went by word of mouth, like, where are
Had
people
to trust what,
going? And it was a Christian school, and so that attracted me.
Yes, for sure.
And so we went, I went, and then I say we because my brother followed the year after, and so we both went to ORU, and I started pre-med, and then my sophomore year, I was sitting in chapel on a Wednesday, and I just something in my heart was like, you're not supposed to be a doctor. Like, because of my personality and because I knew myself at the time that if I had become a physician, I would have married medicine. I just would have been all in on that, which isn't bad, but I don't think I had the capacity to be a present mother and a wife if that,
Yes,
because
absolutely. That
I wanted to be
absolutely resonates
married.
with me. Yes, yeah. That's how I was even with law. Like there's no prospective anything, but for me it was more of also not being able to put my all into it, but if I could, that I was trying to play God. And same for me. I changed my major like 300 times, but I went in for psychiatry, and so I was pre-med at first, but it wasn't because of like something deeper that I changed. It was just because I sucked at biology. So
Well, I sucked at biology too. It's like I end up being a nurse, but I hated science and math, but God will use anything.
He truly will. Yes, that's amazing. Absolutely.
In that, I just started praying and I just asked God to send me mentors and people with wisdom to just help me like figure out what am I supposed to do? And that's where nursing came in. And so I started nursing school and graduated. And so I worked in Tulsa for about a year at the local hospital, but I just couldn't imagine waking up to the same job and the same people every day. And I was a military brat, so I was just used to moving every few years.
The excitement, the newness,
Yes, new friends, new environment.
For
And so I
sure.
found myself at the Air Force recruiter's office and I signed up. I signed up to be in the Air Force and the Air Force because my dad was in the Air Force and I
Of
was very
course.
comfortable with that lifestyle. So I started in Biloxi, Mississippi at Keesler Air Force Base. And I started on a little med surg floor, but I was like, I want to do something more high adrenaline, like either ER or ICU or something. And so I eventually did get placed in the ICU and they trained me there. And then from there, I was asked to go train to be a CCAT nurse. And so a CCAT nurse is a critical care air transport nurse. And so what that is in wartime situations, I would be teamed up with a doctor, like an intensivist type doctor, like a pulmonologist, or an anesthesiologist, and then a critical care nurse and a respiratory therapist. And the three of us would be equipped to set up little mini ICUs in any aircraft that was available to us. So the idea was to bring ICU level care closer to the front lines for our troops. So they didn't have to wait so long
Absolutely.
to get that level of care.
If they have like a leg injury. I had a friend, I dated someone in the military, and his our one of our friends, they he was just overseas training, and when falling, like doing the jumping out of the airplanes or whatever, he broke his legs. So I understand why you would need immediate attention
Those
there.
guys, they're amazing.
Yeah, they are.
We trained for that and we used it in peacetime, like to transport ICU patients from one hospital to another. Like that was kind of our practice. But then September 11th happened. And so that was wartime to test this out, like, you know. And right. So I deployed on a CCAT team for the war after 9/11. And that was just, talking about it today feels like it was a different life. It was a long time ago, but the honor of my life to be able to care for our troops and to do everything we could to get them home.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I served over on a couple deployments. And then, you know, I got married to my husband, John, and we wanted to have children. Mm-hmm. And I saw so many of my friends, male and female, have to leave their kids when we got deployed. And that just ripped my heart out. It was so hard to watch them be away from their children, especially the babies and the young ones that didn't understand. So I decided to separate from the military. And so in 2003, I just did the reserves for a couple years. Mm-hmm. We were in California at the time. Mm-hmm. And we decided to move up here to Oregon because my husband comes from a big, fat Greek family.
Oh, yes. Heck yeah. That's awesome.
So we wanted to raise our kids around family. And,
yeah, for sure.
I loved Oregon. I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be great to live up here.
Yeah.
And so this is where Oregon we've been for over 20 years.
Yeah,
have you been here? Have you been to Oregon?
Yes. Whenever I lived in Seattle, we had driven up like through San Francisco and Portland and in that area. So
The Pacific Northwest really is so beautiful.
It is stunning.
It has everything, right? Like it has high desert, it has ocean, it has mountains.
Right. Yeah. You can do whatever you want to do. The beach today and the mountains tomorrow with the coat.
It's just like a couple hours away, you know, from each other. So we really enjoyed raising, we have two sons. They're 21 and 19, both in college. And it's just a lot of fun raising them here around community and family.
Yeah.
And so I did, after getting out of the military, moving up here, I noticed that I was burnt out of the ICU scene. It was just, and I think being deployed, it was just a lot. And so I thought, okay, maybe I need a break from the ICU. Mm-hmm. So I just started interviewing for various jobs and with no plan in my head, which is exactly how God always works.
Always.
always like surprise.
Yep. Yep.
I went to an interview and I was very honest with the interviewer. Yeah. And I said to her, I said, you know, I just want to be really honest. I'm here for interview practice because when I was in the military, you didn't really interview for jobs. You were assigned.
Yeah.
You were assigned to positions. And so you didn't really interview. So I didn't really have a lot of interviewing
experience. Yeah. I didn't think about that, how that would affect that. Yeah.
So I said, I'm here to practice interviewing skills. I really have, and it was for a hospice job. Uh-huh. I said, I've never done hospice. I've, you know, I'm an ICU nurse by training, some flight. And she was just so intuitive. And she's just like, I think you'd be a great.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hospice nurse. And I thought, I don't know, that's intense. Like, that seems intense to me. But then I would think about the ICU patients that I would gravitate towards, and it were the ones that were at end of life.
Yeah.
Like there was just something about them that I felt like holding that space was holy.
It is.
It was like a holy work and a sacred work.
Absolutely.
And she saw that in me. And so I said, oh, I don't have another job, so I'll take this one. I'll get trained and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I did that for 15 years. I loved it.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. I bet. Yeah.
I loved it. It's
such an intimate time. Like I remember when my mama was passing that, you know, and they would call hospice in and stuff, but she wanted me in the room when she passed, and it was just to be even a kid at that time, like to fathom, I couldn't really understand death, and it took me like 10 years at that point. Yeah. So I was so young to like, just fully process what that, what death was. 'Cause it's like, my mama's still here, but I can't go to her, you know, like it just, it's, but yeah, I definitely understand the intimacy of those moments and like caring for people, making sure their, you know, mental state is not, because I know even just a couple weeks ago, like I had mentioned earlier, I was getting to the point where I was having some serious doubts that were fearsome to me, you know? And so I had called for the chaplain at the church or not the church, at the hospital to come and speak with me, because I was like, look, I'm suffering and I know that we're, I know that we can suffer, but what if I'm suffering for evil? Like, I was just having lots of doubts. So I kind of laid out myself and my life and my, you know, my heart. And
so good.
He, in the next couple of days, brought me back this sheet that had a list of like reminders, like you are who you are in Christ. And there was like beloved, like it was so good. The righteousness of Christ and like pillars
God
of my faith.
God sent you the right person to get his message into your ear.
Absolutely.
To hear, you know, how, what God thinks of us, you know, in those times. And, those moments were precious, and it was such an honor to be in that really intimate time. I mean, it's very sacred time for families and the person that's passing. And so, yes, that career choice fed me. I mean, it just fed me and it filled me up and I loved it. And during that time, I got my master's degree in nursing leadership. And so I was able to become a nurse manager for the hospice nurses. That was even more precious to me, to just really pour into those women and men who would go into these homes and just make sure they had everything they need.
You know? And then you have a separate type of freedom then at that point too, to be able to spend time with your family and care for
them.
And build your home. So
that's
always important too.
So God always provided these jobs that were perfect for me being able to attend to my family's needs and my need as a mom and as a wife, but still hang on to my license, which in Oregon, you have to work to keep your license. You can't do it through CEUs, like, you know, doing classes. You have to work. You have to have working hours. And so it was always a little balancing act, but God always came through and I had that hospice job that was so flexible with me. And
that's
so
amazing.
I appreciated that. And then in 2019, I suffered two brain injuries 6 months apart. And one was from a fall. And then the second one was a car accident. And it undid me. I had to retire my nursing license. I felt like I couldn't safely practice. Like my cognitive.
Exactly. Yeah. It was too fuzzy. You're not present.
Yes.
You're not there.
Yes.
One of the things that stood out to me most, Cherie, I was about to call you Cherie. One of the things that stood out to me the most was how you said you were so used to caring for other people, being the caregiver and then needing to be given care to. Like that's profound, because it's a hard thing to transition into. So explain how was like that season, like the difficultness of that season? How did you transition, and was your husband supportive? And
if my husband wasn't who he is, I don't think I would have made it, just psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. He was amazing. He's my saint. Like God just empowered him, because being a caregiver to someone who I had a lot of ego around my abilities as a nurse and as a very capable mother and as a leader and as a woman, you know, I was very
accomplished and rightfully so.
And so just, into the doing, you know, what I can do for my community, for my children, for you, whatever. And to go from that to him having to walk me everywhere, him having to communicate for me at times, him trying to have a conversation with me where my cognitive skills were not good.
And you were unable to communicate. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just so frustrated because I know I want to say something, but I couldn't. And so God just granted him so much patience and grace.
Yes.
And I believe anointed him to be exactly what I needed, because there was never judgment. There was never frustration towards me. He always was just so empathetic. He was so empathetic, and he would just sit in that with me, and we would cry for years. We cried because we just couldn't understand why God would allow something like this to happen to me. And transitioning from being the caregiver and the carer to being cared for is a crucifixion of your pride.
Ooh.
It's a crucifixion of your pride.
That's true. That's so good. Yes. Yeah.
I had to learn to lean into humility and accepting that I needed help and I needed people. I couldn't do this alone. And so being the person that everyone always called in the past when they needed help.
Right.
And now I'm having to call and ask for help. That was like swimming upstream. It was so painful for me.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Did you lose any friends or people in your life during that time because they were kind of like you were their rock, and now like maybe they weren't able to get, or did you have better discernment probably to begin with as to not?
You know, I think I was blessed with really good friends to begin with. What I saw, I guess my perspective wasn't who fell away, because people did fall away that maybe weren't very close, just felt uncomfortable.
Right.
How do we navigate this?
Right.
But the people that were close to me and that were in my tribe and in my circle, I just saw how much they loved me.
Right.
Like how much they leaned in and said, yeah, this is uncomfortable. This is really awkward. We don't know how to handle this. This feels very different in our interactions with each other and in our friendship.
Right.
But they leaned into it and they sat in it with us. And
so you had better friends than Job then.
What's that?
You had better friends than Job.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank God. God bless Job.
Yeah. Truly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. His faith and his, he just didn't let go.
Right. One of my
favorite. I would have let go.
He didn't. No. Have you ever listened to Pastor Matt Chandler?
Yes.
Okay. So he at one point says, he jokes that he's like, when his wife says, curse God, you know, and die or whatever. And apparently Matt Chandler said, he's like, at that point I would have been asking, where's the dog? Like, can I keep one of those mules? Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. Cause you just get into this mode of like, well, what am I left with?
Right.
What am I left with? And that's where I was. I was like, I'm not left with much, because everything that I thought brought me value in this earth is gone. Like I can't take care of anyone. I can't take care of myself even right now. And my children are teenagers and they're boys and they're having to take care of me. Like, and the pandemic happened. And so that was just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But God just allowed that time to be a time of just reinforcement for our family.
Yes.
Because I said, listen, guys, I don't know what's ahead. Yeah. I mean, our financial future was, you know, the plan was for me to work and be a nurse and make pretty good money and help with college. Well, that's all gone. We didn't have that. And so I just said, guys, we don't know what's coming. Mm-hmm. All I know is that God has got to be in this. He's got to. And if I don't find him in it, I'm lost. I will be lost.
I think he is in it.
Oh, he was totally in every moment, every moment. Because I was able to in sitting in that darkness, because I did fall into depression and anxiety.
Oh yeah.
I did have moments where I told my husband, please hide the firearms in our home.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust myself, because sometimes I'm so much in pain
Yes.
That it seems like a plausible
I know exactly what you're saying. Yep.
And it's terrifying to think that your mind would go there, because we love life. We know that life is a gift.
Yeah, and that we have so many blessings around us, but because of this dark cloud of depression, you're only able to see that. And that's what's so frustrating about it, too. I think that kind of plays into the anxiety, because you're like,
yes,
I have so much in my life that I truly am in my heart grateful for.
Yes.
And that's why it resonates, the psalm where he says, why are you cast down? Oh, my soul, praise God. Because, you know, when you're in the pit like that, you're just, it's just like, come on now. Like, we've got more than that, you know?
Yeah. And then you judge yourself. And you're hard on yourself. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, come on.
Like,
you have this amazing husband. You have healthy children. You're living in a home that keeps you warm and sheltered. Mm-hmm. You have food. Like, come on. Like, and snap out of it.
Right. And people telling you that, too, can also, like, because sometimes I feel, and maybe that's just a subconscious thing or, like, an internal thought. They're like, oh, they probably think X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm kind of in the state, in the phase where I'm trying to break free from it, but definitely worrying about what others think.
Yes.
However, there is, I do like to note though, whenever I talk about that, is like the appearance of evil, because I think Paul instructs us to not do things that have the appearance of evil, you know? So in some aspect, I do think we should care a little, we should care what people think and like, you know, not just like, just all be like, oh, everything I think is, you know, right. Because at what point then are you, you know, foolish? Just, you know, there's, you know.
And I think that there's time for that, you know,
to
consider how your behavior is interpreted by others, because we are witnesses for Christ, right?
For sure.
But there is also a time to not give a damn about that.
That's absolutely true.
And just lean into Jesus and say, Jesus, you know how I feel.
You know that
I am not a bright and shiny person right now.
Yep.
You know, and so just being able to cry out in those moments and just say, I can't do this.
Yep.
I can't do this.
When I was reading over your biography on the page, I kind of, what I gathered most from it was like, you're kind of like a Martha turned Mary. And I feel somewhat similar, like, very much like, and I'm not saying like worry strategy, but just like check the boxes, like do all this, do the things. And Mary's more, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. And
in awe. She's just in awe.
Yep.
You know, just in the moment.
Absolutely. And it's so peaceful.
Here's how much God loves me. He allowed the injury, the brain injury, to be on the left side of my brain, which is where performance and structure and, you know, all of that lives. And so that kind of went away. And that's why I fell into depression, because I'm like, I don't know how to do that anymore. Like, what do I do? And so the doctors are like, you got to get into the right side of your brain. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. I don't think I've ever lived. Maybe the only thing that's lived in the right side of my brain in my life was my spirituality.
Yes.
Because that's right-sided, right? And and so I knew I had a right side because I've always loved God and I've always had a relationship with Christ. And so I knew it was there, but I never lived in it in my practical life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that didn't come out. And so that's where painting came in.
Yes.
I did not do artsy, craftsy things ever in my life. I was just very science-minded, very research-minded, fact-minded. And then when they said, you have to do something with the right side, I, over a series of events, I fell into painting and painting on large canvases.
Yes.
And Alex, I'm telling you, when I fell into understanding what creativity was, because God is a creator.
Yes.
You know, he's the ultimate creator. And so we are too, because we're made in his image.
Imago Dei.
I mean, I knew that in my head, you know, I understood it. I'd heard it in the word of God and in church, but I didn't know what that felt like to be a creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I started, I do, it's called intuitive abstract painting.
Okay.
I never know what is going to end up on the canvas. When I approach a blank canvas,
Same.
Nothing. I have no idea.
Same.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Then you get the downloads.
Yes.
You just start, you get into flow.
Uh-huh.
And that takes a relationship with your intuition.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's a relationship that you have to put time into.
Yes.
Learning how to trust your intuition. We can't trust another person.
No.
Unless we spend time with them.
Right.
And yeah. invest in that relationship. Yeah. And that's what I found was, oh, I need to do that with me.
Yes.
Like I need to
know
learn.
Myself. Yeah.
Yes. Know myself. And then when I trusted myself to go into that place and to get into flow, that's where the divine comes in. That's
right.
where God is like, okay, I'm going to flow through you. You're a vessel. That's when the whole vessel, we've heard about it all our lives. We are vessels.
Ooh.
We are the clay pots. He is the potter. I know it.
Yes.
I know it. But I never felt it.
You felt it in your, felt it in your soul. Yes.
And I was a cracked pot. I was broken.
Right.
But he fills
them
through
with
me because Alex, how
yes.
does this happen? It's
well,
not from me. It's
nope.
not me thinking, oh, this would be a great composition. This would be great colors. No, I don't have that.
Exactly. Yep. I love it. I can see what it is. There's sorrow. There's light in the darkness that covers all of it.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I just see it everywhere. I see the pot. I see a waterfall. It's gorgeous. Like I'm just, that would
and
be
you,
it.
So you have the same experience
yes,
with your
yeah.
art.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. One second. I'm going to grab one really quick.
Yeah.
It's
yes.
in the hallway. So I actually just finished this piece here, but let me make sure I have it right. So it's kind of like a two piece. And again, started it with no like concept, but
oh,
it's like this.
Look at that.
So it's kind of, and then I have the, these spaces right here for Psalm 23. He leads me beside still water. He makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But
that is beautiful. And look, the broken flower.
Yeah.
The broken flower in the middle.
I
so
love
good,
that.
Alex. So
Thank
good.
You.
I love that. I
and
love
it,
that.
Because it reminded me of either Zechariah or Revelation, where I think, there's like the two olive trees and they branch over and over the river that and people can use the flowers for food or healing or something.
Oh,
but yeah.
Goodness.
So I was
just
I'm like,
God
this
always
is,
provides.
Yeah.
Always provides.
Yep.
And there's something that I don't know if it's a Buddhist saying or something, but when I heard it, it resonated so much in me is that when the student is ready, the teachers appear.
Yep.
And
that's
that
so
is
true.
So true.
Yep.
It is so true. God just sends, he assigns the right people into our lives for when we're ready. Because like we said, we could hear a verse our whole lives, like one verse that just I clung to and I still cling to. It shows up in my art all the time.
Yes.
Is Romans 8:28. And I'll tell you why.
Ooh.
It's I was in the ambulance after the car accident and I realized I couldn't talk and I couldn't walk. I was terrified. Like what is happening? And the paramedic, he was an older paramedic. He was maybe in his 50s, maybe early 60s, an older paramedic. He was so calm. And he said, he leaned in and I was crying and crying. And he leaned in and he said, Cherie, God is not done with you yet. Romans 8:28. He goes, don't ever forget it. Romans 8:28. And in the moment I was like, what? Like, get out of my ear. Like,
get out. Stop
helping
it.
Helping me. Give me some medicine. Help me
right.
talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a shot first and I'll talk about it.
But then after
yes,
I remembered that whispering, I was like, wait, he said God was not done with me yet.
That's,
and that I needed to lean on Romans 8:28. And I was like, all things work together for good. All things.
That was
even
on,
this awful thing.
Yes, that was on the sheet that they gave me with the list of all of the,
oh,
that the chaplain
gave me. Of course it was.
Yes.
Of course it was.
That's why I'm like, I have chills right now because that verse is one of my anchoring ones. That and neither depth nor height or angels.
Oh, will separate us from the love. Oh, that's so true. Yes. He loves us so much. And I'll tell you another little story that where God showed me his deep love, but God's love can also be very painful because of how deep it is. In 2023, my father and mother live in the neighborhood here. They moved here about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And my dad and I are, I was a daddy's girl. Mm-hmm. And he loved fishing. And so he would go up to the Washington coast, and he and my mom loved to RV. Uh-huh. And so they went RVing and he went fishing. And so it was September, and he and I were kind of texting back and forth talking about, because he's like, you should have a business. You should sell your art. Yeah. And at the time, you know, some friends and family were telling me, you should really think about selling your art. And I thought, my art is just my therapy. Like, it's just healing me. It's keeping me alive. Like,
I want
it's
them
my
on
only
my walls.
Thing. Yeah, it's like, it's just for me. Like, it's what's helping me connect back to God and myself and the world. And, but they were like, but you're getting better at it. Like, I think maybe you should consider. So we were kind of throwing the idea around. So my dad and I were texting back and forth, like logo ideas and business name ideas. And so on that Sunday night, he liked my little logo idea.
Aww.
And so Monday morning he head out fishing, and this trigger warning, he's killed. He's killed on the jetty. A sneaker wave came, killed him. And he was lost to sea. The, you know, the Coast Guard and the sheriff's department were out with boats and helicopters looking for him, and they couldn't find him. It's very rough waters there in that part. And so I was trying to get to my mom, obviously, when she's like, he's missing. We don't know what happened. And so I was trying to get to her. And long story short, my mom was waiting for me to arrive. And she just heard my dad calling in her heart, like, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And she's like, okay, he must be alive. Like, he's got to be. And so she started running to the water. And they had left a chaplain from the police department with her to wait until I got there. Mm-hmm. And she ran into the water or towards the water, and she could see my dad swimming, like his arms were swimming. She's like, oh my gosh, it's been 7 hours, but he survived. He survived. And so she ran into the water. My mom does not know how to swim. So the police officer pulls her back. He said, Jeannie, it's dangerous. Let me go. I'll go help him. And so she went back on the beach, and she was looking and saying, he's right there. He's right there. And when she was looking, she realized that it wasn't his arms swimming. Two sea lions had him by each arm, and they were swimming him back, and they pushed him into the surf right to my mom's feet. Like, crazy. Even the creatures of the earth know the voice of God.
Ooh, my dad said that yesterday. That'll preach, girl. Ooh.
I mean, that's as awful.
I'm sorry.
He was dead. He was dead.
Yes,
but
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But we know where he is.
Yes, I mean, seriously.
Yeah. But for the sea lions, and I asked some people that were like marine biologists, I'm like, is that a thing? You know, and they're like, yeah, sea lions and seals and some creatures, they'll realize something's not right in their environment, and they'll try to make it right. And so you'll hear about people who were drowning or something, and a sea lion will come by and just keep their head above water. Uh-huh. So I started researching all these stories
about
sea lions, because I'm like, no, I love sea lions.
Yes. That would be like my, oh my gosh, that would be my favorite animal.
Yeah.
Have you
We came back, we brought my dad's body back here. And then that week was chaos because people were flying in from Korea, from New York City, like from everywhere for the funeral. And I needed, like, it was like 2 or 3 days after my dad had died. And I just needed a moment. I just needed some silence. And so I asked my husband and my sons, I said, guys, I just need to be in my studio for a few hours. Mm-hmm. I just, I have to disconnect for a little bit. And they're like, absolutely. So they like stood guard, made sure nobody bothered me.
Aww.
And in 3 hours, I painted. And I was literally, Alex, I was throwing paint. I was so angry. I was just smashing paint into the canvas. I was throwing paint. I was scribbling. And I got tired and I stepped back because I don't paint animals. Like, I don't know how to paint animals or anything like that. And I stepped back and I could see the outline of a sea lion. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
And yeah, so sometimes you just look up during that and you're like, okay.
Yes. You're like, oh, that's obvious.
Yep. Yep.
Without even trying.
Right.
And so I did finish that piece. And so that entire piece was painted in 3 hours. But wow. I just know
the hand of God was working through you. Yes, vessels, yeah. As
and
you
it comforted
yeah.
it comforted me so much. And you know, as traumatic and awful it was to lose my dad, God just brought that grace,
yeah.
You know, even in our pain. And God found that it was his time for whatever reason. It was my dad's perfect time.
Yeah.
And so God, he's with God, and I couldn't be happier for him because that's peace. That's freedom, right?
Absolutely.
But we miss him. Like, obviously, I miss him so much.
For
but
sure.
God
I'm ready for death.
We are.
He does. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was going to say, missing people is something that I'm just ready for death to be defeated. Like the whole Maranatha, come Jesus, come.
Yeah.
Death can be, I mean, I feel like I've been kind of weathered quite a bit over the years. My parents were quite older when they had me. So, my grandparents are all gone now at this point, but, certain relatives like aunts and uncles and stuff. So it definitely takes a toll on you, but I think after a while I'm just ready for death to be defeated along with sickness and all the things.
With Jesus,
the Holy Spirit,
yes,
we can experience his joy here through it.
He defeated death, right? He defeated death on our behalf. And so on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
You know, it's living that. And only through him can we experience that. Because in our flesh, we would be crushed.
Absolutely.
We would be crushed.
Yeah.
And so God's love is expensive.
Yeah.
It's free, right? It's free. Anyone.
Right.
It's available to all, but to walk with him in love is expensive because we have to crucify ourselves. We have to die to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And I think my brain injury was a physical dying to myself
because
I literally felt like I was mourning me while I was still alive.
Yeah.
Like I was still mourning me.
Yeah.
Who I was. And, you know,
you're like,
healing
that
to me.
That person is dead to you. Like, I said that the other day. I was like, whoever you knew, the Alex you knew 5 years ago, that is not who you know now. Like, that is not me. It never will be me. So just like, we got to accept this new.
And I was naive enough to think, well, the old me was pretty good. Like, man, I thought. And how I couldn't have imagined how life is now.
Yep.
In a million years, I couldn't imagine how amazing life is for me now.
Yeah.
And how much joy and how much peace and how much I don't care.
Right. Like worrying about those little bitty things like that pretty much everyone else's opinions, you know, and like, am I doing enough? Am I on top here? Like, and
it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting.
Yeah. Now spiritually I'll get in the race though. Spiritually, I'm like, okay, I saw that. I'm copying it.
Exactly. But how can we be available to minister to others when we're so caught up in what people think about us or what we should be doing and what's right, what's wrong? You know,
That's
it's just being
guilt.
Present.
Yeah. And that can be some of the guilt too. I'm sure that you have experienced with needing to be given care too,
absolutely.
Because you know, it is more blessed to give than receive. I have that written on one of my sticky notes and I'm like, well, I have love to give.
And that's what it is. What do we really have to give?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's our love. Yeah. She said, above all else, love one another.
Absolutely.
If you can't do a darn other thing, love.
Do that, yeah.
And even when I was so broken and so sad and so, you know, just, I felt so, betrayed.
Yeah.
That even then I could love.
Yeah.
You had to choose it. You had to choose it, but you could, even in, if it's loving my teenage boys through my gratitude for them and showing them how proud I was that they were able to step outside of their teenage self-centeredness and take care of their mom, you know, like,
well, I'm sure you're raising great men of God in doing so, you know.
Well, God is raising great men of God.
For sure. Yes, yes, yes. That's absolutely right. Yep.
I think I mess up so much, but he did give us stewardship over them. And so our prayers are, you know, we want them above all else to just experience the peace of God in their life. Yeah. And I took so long to understand what God has for us because I kept getting in the way. I just kept getting in my own way.
Yeah, you know, literally God's trying to play his role. Yeah.
And he will let us.
Yeah,
he will let us.
He will. And then be like, okay, this is how you wanted this to turn out. Now we're going to shift gears.
So I have a better plan.
Exactly.
If you're still in that, I'll let you hang out in that for a while.
Right. Yeah. I think he's got me on the right track right now. So that is, you're like so inspiring. You have so much wisdom.
Oh.
And like, I can tell you're full of the Holy Spirit. I feel the presence right now.
Thank God. I mean, thank God. Cause you know, when we, because he is gracious and he is a gentleman, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, you know, he won't force himself on you.
Right.
He won't, it's just an invitation.
Yeah.
You know, it's an invitation that we have to make. Mm-hmm. We invite the Holy Spirit into our home all the time because we can tell when he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's chaos everywhere.
Yeah. You guys are not choosing me.
Yeah.
So right. I'm out.
Yeah.
So you invite him back in. So I'm so sorry.
Exactly. So sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
But the longer you walk with the Lord and the more intense your journey is, you've had an intense journey.
Right.
It just becomes innate.
That's how I describe it. Like I saw it on my little outline thing that I sent you, but it was like, maybe welcome and prayer or something. I was like, I don't feel comfortable praying. So I'm like, I'm like living on a prayer. We're talking, walking the prayer, you know?
Alex, this entire conversation is a prayer.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that whole pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
That's not us holed up in our rooms on our knees.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
Sometimes it is that, but most of the time, because God knows us and we're not monks and nuns, you know, this is a prayer. Our life is pray without ceasing, like giving glory to him and calling upon him. Amen. You know, there's that one little book. I'm not remembering her name, but it's this little book called Help Thanks Wow. Have you heard of it?
Okay. No.
It's this little book where this lady talks about prayer and how every prayer is either help, thanks, or wow.
I need to write that down. I'm going to do that after this.
It's a little, I'm trying to remember her name. I don't remember. She's a famous author.
Yeah.
I mean, she's written a lot of books, but it's so true. Like our prayers are help, thanks, or wow.
It is true. Yeah. That is very, very to the point. Yep.
Yeah. And so I just think our prayer, our lives are prayer and our connection and interacting with others.
Yeah.
That's a prayer. You know, like one of my prayers is always on my lips is Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Like, in any situation, that just means your will be done. Your grace be upon this. I need your mercy.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't do this without you.
Absolutely.
I can't do it without you. And when I try, it fails every single time, 100% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
It just doesn't resonate.
No.
You know?
And I think when keep like fighting or kind of wrestling with God at some point, you start to realize like what that wrestle is. And it's like, okay, this is what's been going on for this long. I get it now.
Okay.
Yeah. I surrender. Yeah. White flag up. I'm done.
And then you know what is crazy is we surrender and then we win.
Yeah.
You know, he gets us to win. Like we win in life. We win in relationships. Yes. We win in decisions. And
exactly.
Like, oh my gosh. I just had to surrender.
Yes. As he carries me home. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That whole prodigal son thing where the father runs.
Yeah. And clothes him in the robe and gives him a
feast. Puts the ring on his finger and prepare the fatted calf. He's like, come on, we're partying. And that's what God does for us.
You know, every time we go away and
we sit in our sadness or our despair. Mm-hmm. And those times are valuable. God uses it all. He uses all things at all times. And because we remember the darkness, we remember what that feels like. Yeah. We remember the brush with death, like, to think that death would be relief. Like,
right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. When you can go that far to really believe that that could maybe bring relief in this life, and then to come back to God and realize he's the relief.
Yep. Yeah.
He's our breath.
Yeah. True.
You know?
Yeah.
But that takes intention.
It does. And it takes ongoing repentance, I believe.
Absolutely.
You know, it's hard. I'm definitely one of those progressive sanctification believers. Like there have been some things like God has taken it away overnight for sure.
Yeah.
Love those, but that's not that way for all of them. And I think that's kind of where repentance comes into play for me. Cause it's like, you know, it's wrong. Like I do what I know is wrong, but I continue to do it type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like Paul.
But, yeah. Literally. Yeah. He's got the thorn in his side. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But it keeps
us humble. Our relationship, you know, and it's humility, you know, just like pride is the root of so many of our sins, just because of our pride and our ego. Humility is the salve, you know, humility is what comes in. And so now if, you know, a confrontation between anyone, like, I'm like, oh my God, I don't agree with that person or whatever. And it's also having lived over 50 years on earth, you know, that I don't see them and say, what's wrong with them? Cause I used to be like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with them?
Right.
Their thinking is so wrong. And I'm like, why am I reacting?
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter what they're thinking.
Yes, exactly.
They can think whatever they want to think.
Right.
But why am I reacting?
Yes, exactly. That's how I'm like, there's something wrong with me. There's like, I've got to smoke this out because I shouldn't be like, bothered by this.
Yeah, exactly. But there's something in us that's like, well, you should be offended. You should be upset. You should take that personally. And that's where our repentance lies and says, God, I do not need to carry that.
Right. Right.
That is not mine to carry.
No.
That is not mine.
That's so gold what you just said there. Like, what is yours to carry? Because I do think we are to help carry and bear one another's burdens.
Absolutely.
There are some that are not ours.
If they're assigned.
Assigned to you. Yes. For sure.
And we will know. Like, the more we walk with him, the more intimate we are in our relationship with God, we will start to learn what that feels like when it's assignment. And I will say in my everyday life to my husband, like, that's not my assignment.
Right.
You know, or I don't think that's your assignment. You know,
I need because someone in my life to tell me because
I have me.
Thank you. Yes. Because I'm like, I am tired of learning the hard way. Yes. He's teaching me the hard way on all this.
Also, from my perspective, look how young you are and that you're learning.
Yeah.
I didn't know these lessons when I was young. I was like, you know, I love the Lord. I lived a good Christian life.
Right.
You know, but I didn't know that's not where it's
at. The intimacy. Yeah.
Yes.
The intimacy is lacking. Yeah.
I don't want to be a good Christian.
Right.
I just want to be his child.
Yes,
I just want to know God.
Yeah.
I don't care what people label me. Like, she's a good Christian. Well, good for you. You don't know me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I actually have quite a mouth on me. I can go off the time, you know? Like, and I need the Lord.
And he's okay with it.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, gosh, I'm here. I'm here. You know, just and one of my taglines in my in my art business is colliding with beauty is the subtext. It's colliding with Karen Dance Fine Art, colliding with beauty. And one of my taglines is from Dostoevsky, where he says, beauty will save the world. Mm-hmm. And Dostoevsky was an Orthodox Christian, and we're Greek Orthodox. My husband's Greek, and so Greek Orthodox. Yeah,
that's awesome.
And and beauty will save the world because yes. God is in beauty. We have to look for the beauty.
Yes, God is in all everything. Things. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like one time we were watching, you know, in Portland, there were a lot of riots and stuff going on, and you know, we were watching it on TV. It was probably like 2020, and the boys were there and they were like, oh my gosh, it's so scary, you know, to see people so angry and, you know, hurting each other and hurting yeah. buildings and, you know, vandalizing yeah. things. Like that's a lot of feelings coming out. And I said, but look at the helpers. Like if you would look close, there were people helping people that were dehydrated or had things in their eyes or there were helpers there and there was love.
Right.
And that
sometimes
love,
just stepping out and seeing that. Yeah.
Yes. The bigger picture.
The bigger,
And that a lot of times people are so passionate because it comes from a place of being passionate about something and loving something, but it just gets misdirected into anger and bitterness and hate, which doesn't solve anything.
Right.
But it starts with love. Like they care about something, obviously they care about something. And so looking for the beauty in all things is where I think we can find freedom. And that's where we find God in the tiniest little whispers, you know, the glimmers that we see. It's not going to always be sea lions bringing your dead father back to you. Like it's not, it's hardly ever like that.
Yeah. But though it is miraculous though, like
it's so miraculous. Yeah. That's like Old Testament Bible story.
That is. Yeah, it is. His story is, he's still writing his story. So yes.
He totally is.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to finally feel like I'm in his story and not mine.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Cause that's the only, I mean, who would have thought? I would say I'm Sheree Karen Danis. I'm a business owner. I'm a professional artist. What?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. Sheree, that is
crazy.
Your testimony is inspiring to me. I hope that I hope this resonates
Thank
with people.
God. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah.
So if there is like a message you hope that your story and art leave with people, with those who are struggling, what would that be?
That we were created for connection. We were never meant to be alone. Mm-hmm. We were never meant to go through this life alone. Mm-hmm. And so my paintings, you know, they're not always beautiful. Like, I don't want them to be beautiful paintings. I want them to ignite something in someone. When they see it, I want them to feel, gosh, that feels like sorrow, or that feels like redemption, or that feels like process, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of connection, because through my art, I can connect with people that I would have never imagined connecting to. Maybe even people I'll never even meet, because they'll see it online or they'll see it in a gallery and they'll have that connection. But I know that every one of those connections is valuable to God.
Yes.
And it's valuable to us as humans.
Yeah.
And so when we go through hard times and in the darkest times, we have this tendency, and I think it's the enemy that just wants us to hole away, you know? Depression causes that in us.
It does, yeah.
You know, we just want to lay in bed, put the covers over our head, not eat, not shower, just lay there in our misery.
Yep.
And somehow that feels good.
Yeah.
Like some weird, twisted way that feels like,
it's like
exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. It's like I'm just gonna pout this whole day away.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I have every right to. Like I have every right to. You know.
Yeah.
And depression is that powerful.
It
will force you on your knees. It will force you on your knees.
That's
But if you create community around you, if you can create even a couple of people that know you deeply,
right,
where you can just say, "I'm not okay."
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they don't call the police, but
maybe they don't, but it's,
but they love you and they know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just need you to sit with me and know that I'm not okay. And it's okay to not be okay. And I think, I think that's the epidemic of our society now is loneliness. You know, the Surgeon General even called it out. He's like, loneliness is the epidemic of our society. And it's like, okay, we need to connect.
Right.
We need to connect.
And not just on social media. And Right.
But have conversations like this, where we're talking about the deepest parts of ourselves.
Yes.
You know, and that's connection. That's healing, because that's what, when God created humans, we used to meet around fires, you know,
and
we would prepare meals together. Yes. We lived in community.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And now we're all siloed.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
We don't have that meaningful. Like, one of my favorite questions, because one thing I'm working on is how to tolerate small talk, because I know we have to do it. It's part of society, right? But I hate it with a capital H. Like, I hate small talk. It makes me uncomfortable. I get really annoyed. And I just want to be like, tell me everything about yourself. And so one of my favorite questions when I can get above the small talk is just to put my hand on their chest right here and just say, how's your heart? Can you just tell me, how's your heart? And I feel like I've learned that's a very it's not forceful. It's not scary.
It's gentle, meaningful, and inviting.
Genuine. Just tell me how your heart is.
Yeah. You know,
that for me has opened doors, and the actual physical touch, sharing energy through touch, you know, because that's what social media has stolen from us is touch.
Yeah.
You know, hugging and putting your hand on someone's shoulder, you know, it's just basic little things that we're created for.
Yeah.
You know, like try to hug a person. Cause isn't it the science says if you hug a person for 16 seconds, they're oxytocin.
Yeah.
Right. And so I force my boys I will say 1001, 1002. And they get so cringy. They're like, mom, it's a little too much, a little too much. I'm like, we can't even hug each other for very long. Cause it's so uncomfortable. Like if I try to do that with friends, they're like,
they're like, that's enough. Like, that's enough.
16 seconds.
I got the timer.
I'm getting my oxytocin.
Yes.
I'm hugging you, Alex. I'm going to hang on to you.
Aw. Yes. I would hang on too.
I have a feeling we might make other people uncomfortable with how.
Yes.
How long we hang on to our hug.
You know, that's okay. They can just...
It's okay.
Yeah.
Because we don't care what other people think.
No, no. That's amazing. Oh my goodness. Sherry, I love... Or Sherry, I'm so sorry. Sherry.
It's fine.
So I feel like I've kept you long enough, and I've so enjoyed this conversation. I feel like other people are going to get so much good things from it. I love your testimony. Yeah. It speaks directly to my heart in this season. So
feel very blessed to have you. Your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is powerful. And I admire your love for Christ and the way you just cling to him and continue to do the good work that you're doing.
Hey, it's important. He keeps me in him. That's the only way.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's the only way.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. It was great talking. Yeah. I hope we can stay in touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Talk
Bye.
Soon. Bye. Hey, everyone. So thank you so much for tuning in to this episode with Sherry. She was so amazing, and I really hope you all got something good from it. And, see you guys soon.